This is Barbara Glickson with HealthCetera. We often have an opportunity to reconnect with people that really mattered in our lives, and this is one of them. Just recently, I've reconnected with Janet Howard. The two of us worked at Beth Israel Medical Center over 20 years ago, and she taught me an incredible amount about environmental health, environmental sustainability, and ways that medical centers should be stepping forward in order to save the environment and do everything that we can. We were disruptors. We had a lot of fun. We had some shenanigans. We did some important work, and we figured out how to bring people along in the days where people weren't so convinced or concerned as we should have been about climate emergency. Just recently, we connected through social media, one of the advantages of social media at times. And today, I am absolutely thrilled to bring Janet Howard on HealthCetera. Janet is the author of Field Notes on Letting Go, a memoir of truth-seeking, healing, and personal freedom. This is her new work. After many years of being engaged in the environmental health movement and 18 years working with Healthcare Without Harm. Welcome to HealthCetera, Janet.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm wondering, did I have you on HealthCetera when we were on Pacifica News Radio back
yes.
in the day live?
Yes.
I'm going to try and pull that recording back up. I knew that I had you on the radio before, and I'm so excited to have you back in a new space. We're now recording out of the Catskills, where Diana Mason is living and her weekly program on WIOX Radio. So I briefly mentioned our connection over 20 years ago at Beth Israel Medical Center here in New York City, which we both found out just today is closing. So it's an interesting day to be reconnecting and talking about things that matter. And I know that your commitment and your incredible advocacy work in education within the healthcare system on environmental safety, environmental sustainability, and things that academic medical centers can do has just recently ended, and you're on a new path. So why don't we talk about the new path, or you can start wherever you'd like to start as it connects to this new path.
Sure. I really didn't know it, but I have spent my whole life just pushing, pushing, pushing for more, pushing through any barriers or any limits in working towards protecting the environment. But I didn't know that one of the root causes was that I was traumatized as a little girl. And the only way to get through life was to push through, push through, push through for survival, because my house wasn't safe when I was little. And I wasn't spending any time looking back. I was living a great life. But when my 25-year marriage ended and my whole world came crumbling down, I knew that I couldn't live that way anymore. I had to stop. I had to pause. I had to look back. And I describe it as digging through the rubble of my life and picking up the pieces and knowing that I had to look back. I thought I could get away with just pushing through it. And what happened was that I couldn't really rely on any of my old methods anymore, pushing through, exercising rigorously every day. I think I took muscling it through literally. And I was also using food a lot just to comfort myself. And so I started looking around for some other strategies. And that's when I found Kundalini yoga. And I wasn't a yoga person, but I needed to figure out how to sit still and let whatever was behind me that I was scared of, either real or imagined, catch up and turn around and look at it and take it in, because I was so deeply fearful of my past. And I just was all in. Kundalini yoga really taught me that we are energetic beings in these physical bodies. And it's a way to connect with your insides, your inner child, your spirit self, your higher self, however you want to put it, every single day. And that is putting you on the path of your soul's purpose. The mantra for Kundalini Yoga is Sat Nam. Truth is my identity. And so you plant that seed of Sat Nam. And the more you get to understand your own truth and live your truth, the untruths start falling away. And so that's when you start seeing life change. That's when I let myself know how exhausted I was in my career after 30 years, over 30 years of working on healthcare sustainability. And my whole life changed after that.
What was that time period like? How long was this journey of discovery for you? I know we're all on this, still on that path of discovery, but when that moment of recognition happened from when your marriage ended and you took just made the big decision to leave healthcare without harm.
Well, my marriage ended about 10 years ago, and it for a few years I still muscled through. And then I transitioned into Kundalini and started slowing down. So I would say about 6 years ago, I made healing a priority, started a daily sadhana, a daily practice, and prioritized my health and really started understanding what taking care of yourself meant. And about a year and a half ago, I resigned from a fantastic career in healthcare sustainability because I felt completely depleted. And the work that we do is about scaling up, scaling up, scaling up, scaling up. But I needed to scale down. I needed to get closer to the earth. And when I was in my last year at Healthcare Without Harm, a woman who had been in my Airbnb reached out and said she had a studio apartment available in Hawaii on the Big Island. And would I like to stay there? So during COVID, I worked from there because my kids were grown up, they left the house, and my job was virtual. And when I was there, I found out that a very good friend of mine had a foundation bequeath 117 acres of land on the North Shore of the Big Island for agricultural purposes. And they were still figuring out what they wanted to do with it. It was about 5 miles down the road. So last year, and then again this year, I went there and I volunteered on the farm. I did what I could do to help out. And I had started blogging about my health. I had started on my own website. I'm a Reiki master. I do energy medicine. And I just started blogging and I was teaching yoga. But while I was in Hawaii, I went on a vision quest. So for
What
four
is
nights
that?
and
How would you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, it meant basically that I didn't eat any food and I didn't have any electronics or reading material or anything. I didn't even have a tent. I just had a sleeping bag on the earth. And I was gone for 4 nights, 5 days. I had water, but no food. And it's a way to really cut out all the distractions that we have in our lives. This busyness that many of us are addicted to. After those 5 days, all of that is stripped away. So you really can connect with your purest self. And in that time, it is often an initiation, right? And it wasn't necessarily done for women. It was often for men. But I just felt that I was at such a crossroads. I had left my job. I was in Hawaii. I was 58 years old. My kids were grown. I was single. I just didn't know what was next. And I had always wanted to go on one. And I never really had the right place or the right time. But this land, 117 acres, was safe. It wasn't a public space, but I was very much alone there. And I connected with this tree, an ironwood tree that I was underneath. I mean, you have to read the memoir, but basically, I dreamt about this tree many, many, many years before. And it was on the vision quest that I realized that I was at the tree that I had dreamt about all those years before. And it just let me see clearly how distracted I keep myself. I think I'm afraid of my own power, and it's easier to keep it at arm's length and just rather than just take it on. So that's what I've been working on, is slowly realizing my power and what I have to offer. When the vision quest was over, that's when my memoir was born. All the words just came right out, and I just knew that it was meant to be. And it's really a book of healing. and forgiveness and earned wisdom and gifts. So while the core of it is about a traumatic past, it's really showing a lot of the tools that I've learned over the years that I think can help others that are turning a page. And I mean, I know many people have been traumatized, but it could be helpful for anybody, whether you're ending a relationship or starting a new job or moving or healing from being sick. There's a lot of reasons that people's lives change. And it can be a gift. You know, we see challenges, if we see challenges as initiations, it makes it a little bit easier to stay with them. And that's how I look at life now, is that we have teachers all around us. We just have to be aware enough to realize that they're there, or they'll keep circling around with a new lesson for us.
Janet, when I opened our conversation, I sincerely spoke of how you taught me a great deal. And I saw and witnessed and experienced your power over 20 years ago in your work. And your self-realization of this power manifested by significant change and recognizing the trauma in your early life, as well as more recently making all these shifts. Is that power feel different to you? And how connected is that early power that maybe you weren't fully embodied at that time, but others saw the same or different today?
I mean, that's such an interesting question. And by the way, I wrote about my years at Beth Israel in the memoir, and it was really fun to write about it. I think I've always rooted for those that didn't have a voice and advocated for respect for all people in the workplace. I think what's different is just kind of understanding where it came from, you know, and knowing that I wrote this book for my little child self who did not have a voice, who had no one to turn to, and who didn't trust herself. And I think the other shift is that my change now is coming from a place of love more than fear-based. I run more from the heart now, than running away from something.
And the foundation of so much of the commitment in your life of loving the earth, being worried and concerned about the earth, protecting the earth when you could, educating us, including myself, of how I can make contributions in small and big ways. How foundational is that to the work you're doing now?
It is the foundation. My love for the planet leads me on a path of truth.
Say more about that.
I believe in order to heal this world, we have to heal ourselves first. Heal ourselves, heal each other, heal the world. If you genuinely know how to take care of yourself spiritually, emotionally, you will be in alignment with the beat and the rhythm of the planet. If your energy systems are balanced, you won't be greedy. You won't lie, you know? So when we look at some leaders who just don't get it, you could say that they're chakras are out of balance, and that they need to do some yoga and meditation and sit in nature and breathe and eat healthy foods to really embody what it means to be connected energetically to the world that we're in. And that has just been so transformational for me, is the deep connection that I have to the planet. I've always loved the planet, but I have never felt so deeply connected to the natural world. And so the little things I ask people to think about is to just greet the weather, for example, thinking of the weather as the emotion of the planet. Just when you go outside, whatever is happening, greeting it, talking to the trees, you know, just really knowing that we are connected And if we can work with people individually to help them embody a spiritual practice, they'll feel more connected with their inner selves. In this age that we're in right now of electronics and chaos and the acceleration of the lifestyle, people are thirsty for something different. And finding a way to slow down and connect every single day with themselves, with their insides, with their higher self, just helps them slow down, laugh, play, have fun, not need as many material possessions. And I think COVID really did help people in a lot of ways because it forced people to look inside and take a look at their relationships, not just with other people, but with themselves and, with air, water, and soil.
So, I'm going to speak for some of our listeners who might be feeling like, there's no way I can do this. Did you ask yourself that question when you started 10 years ago, when your marriage ended, and then 6 years ago on this journey? Question the authenticity of you embarking on this kind of spiritual practice and journey, and think this isn't for me, and why would I even think I can tell other people to do this?
I mean, mostly I don't really tell other people to do it. Only because I wrote the book and you're asking, do I feel open to talk about it? But I don't think people do things because they're told to do it. So absolutely. No, I wasn't a yoga person. I was a soccer player. I was always
And a runner, you
moving.
used to run, you were a
Yeah,
runner.
run, tennis, like whatever. But no, for me, it was just really needing to learn how to slow down. And interestingly, once I was in, I was all in. That's kind of how I am. When something just hits me in the right place, I am all in. And I knew I needed it. It felt good right away. And I made it a priority. And I think it was surprising to some people, kind of, when is she going to stop? Because the most powerful time of day is also 2.5 hours before dawn. So I've been getting up pre-dawn for about 6 years. And it is a lot, but I was at a place where my kids were grown. So yeah, if you have little kids or you have a powerful, busy career, no, you can't do it like that. But you can do short little, it's called a kriya, which is the combining of the postures, the breathing, the meditation, and the mantra. You can do that for short pieces of time and have it make a huge difference, because a lot of the breathing strategies move dense energies in our systems, so it can help clear energy, things that are maybe keeping you stuck, or false beliefs about yourself. You were saying, like, finding your power. We all have that power. And so breathing strategies and meditation and mantra can help clear some of those limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves. But I think a lot of people wondered, like, are you done yet?
How has it changed your relationships with your adult children, Janet?
I know that they both are very similar to me. They're both really into plants and animals and the natural world. They don't talk to me a lot about it. So they know about it, but it's not like it's the center of our conversation. But writing the book, my daughter said, was the most wonderful thing, that the greatest gift that she could ever have.
Why is that?
Because there was a big secret in my
Oh.
family, and she could always feel it. She's extremely sensitive to energy, and she always could just feel it. So it was kind of like the elephant in the room. And it still is.
Do
And
you
so
think
for
it's,
her,
sorry, go
no,
ahead.
go ahead.
Do you think it's important to share what the elephant in the room is, or is that something, since you wrote about it, it's obviously in the public? Is that something that's helpful for you to share, or is that too private?
No, it's in the book that I was molested by my father. But it's not in the book a lot. I have it in there because I felt that I needed to share kind of the core wound. But I've had other things happen. As you know, my first child died when he was a baby. I got divorced. I have plenty of challenges, like everybody does. It was a lot to process and digest and get through. And it's not just the Kundalini yoga though, and the connection to nature, it's also the writing. And that's why I wrote a pondering workbook with the memoir, so that every essay has questions so that the reader can then kind of scratch the surface on their life and write about some of these things themselves. And I'm right now putting together a 13-part workshop. It'll be on demand, called Read, Write, Release. And it will allow people to read the essays, do their own writing, and then I have yoga sessions that are aligned with the themes of the book. So whether it's planting the seed of Satnam, like I said, planting the seed of truth, or pushing through fear, or feeling safe sitting still, or adventure. So I have different themes for each one of them, and then ways that we can share writing with each other.
Well, thank you for your revealing and sharing something that was so traumatic in your life and has been freeing to say it out loud. I asked it with the respect of you choosing not to share it, and I hope that it didn't feel provocative. My question wasn't provocative or painful. And knowing that your commitment to this work and the commitment to your personal work is very much another sign of your strength, Janet. Another sign of your power that you're sharing with our listeners today. Where do you hope to go with all of this? We have a couple of minutes left. Tell me, what are you envisioning? What's your next vision quest? Where's that going? I want to follow your journey. I may want to be on your journey with you.
I mean, in one of the yoga classes I just recently recorded, I said I wanted a field of truth growing. So when I said I'm planting the seed of Satnam, I want to just grow a field of Satnam so that people can feel empowered to, first of all, know their truth. It takes time to know your truth, and the yoga really helps with that, obviously with counseling too. But to know your truth, to feel your truth, to start walking your truth, which can be a very different footstep than the one you had been walking before. And then to speak your truth, for me, was the last one and the most difficult one to actually. It's one thing to live your truth, but to start speaking it out loud is a whole other thing. And I really do see it as energetic. So I'd love to connect with others that are interested in exploring through writing and through movement and meditation and mantra. And I do hope to actually offer vision quests on the land. I've asked if that's something that I could start planning for others. So, yeah, I'm just, honestly, Barbara, I don't really know where I'm going. And that's part of the spiritual path, is just trusting that it folds out in front of you. But I'm all in, and this is what I'm doing, and it feels really good.
Please tell us how we can learn more about your book and your website, and be prepared to hear about the series that's coming up. What's the best way for people to learn about you and the work?
Thank you. My website is rosehip26.com.
Say it again.
Rosehip26.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at the same name.
Thank you, Janet. It's really a special day to reconnect with you.
I'm over the moon about it. Thank you so much.
Yay, you even brought the moon into our interview today. This is Barbara Glickstein with HealthCetera. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Janet, for sharing your journey and the future journeys to come. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Barbara.